just coming back to the condemnatory sort of chatter that the proprium throws out, and often it's like, you can never be whatever it is, you know, you can never do this right, whatever that is. And what's interesting about that when you look at it is that it's actually stating a truth in a lot of ways. In and of ourselves, we can't. So it's not like it's a complete lie that's being offered. There's always an element of something that kind of rings true in it. And that's what hooks us in. But it is true that the proprium really is talking about itself. It splits itself in a way whereby it creates this inner dialogue so that we are identified with one part of it, while the other part of it then just rains down on it with all that it can in order to hold us in a state of guilt and shame. But when we get free of that, then what we can see is that, yes, well, if it is raining down on another aspect of itself, then what it is saying is true. You know, the proprium cannot be anything other than what the word describes it as. I take some comfort from that, that when I've been caught up in that sort of negative self-talk, just suddenly realizing, well, yeah, that's right. The proprium can't be anything else other than what this part of the proprium is describing itself as. You know, and the irony in that is that you immediately get a break. You know, you've actually separated from it. So truths have come in which teach that the proprium is nothing but evil and falsity, and the Lord alone is good. So as soon as that truth is remembered, it no longer has any power. It's when we're caught in the emotion of it that it has its power. It has power, or apparent power, over us.